Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us comes today in the 14th chapter of Matthew, where once again we hear, starting in the 19th verse, "Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." This is God's word. What is the best meal you ever had? If you're like me, it's awfully hard to decide on one, but I can tell you that one of my most memorable meals took place at a restaurant in Pepper Pike. It was a wedding rehearsal dinner for the daughter of one of my ministry colleagues, and it's a little ironic that I cannot tell you what I was eating. It was Russian food, that's about all I know. It was good, and the courses just kept coming and coming, one after the other. But what made it so memorable was the connection that I felt to this family. It was truly an occasion of celebration. It was a joy and a privilege to be at that table. Now, every time we drive by that restaurant, I point it out to my family. They probably know that it's coming each time. And I hope you've had a similar dining experience or two. And if we were to share what those were, I'm betting that we would come to the same conclusion that it's not really about the food. I mean, you want the food to be good, of course. But there's usually something else going on at the table that's less about the cuisine, and it's more about the relationships forming around that table. It's no coincidence that when God talks about his kingdom, he consistently talks about it in terms of a feast. Think back to the reading just from Isaiah 55 today. God could have just said, "I'm going to bless you, and here's how." But instead, he uses the language of food. He uses table language. And doesn't it grab your attention? The Lord says, "All you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who have not money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. Your soul will enjoy the rich food that satisfies." Now that is an invitation we understand. You can almost feel that invitation. Doesn't it make you want to pull up a chair and see what God is going to serve at his table? And there's also quite a diagnosis in that passage from Isaiah. Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy? God knows we go after so many things thinking, if I just have that, then I'll finally feel good about myself. But then I get that, and I don't. And God says, "I have something for you, rich food that satisfies. But you have to get it from me." And there's a lot more where that came from. When Jesus appears in the world and begins sharing his message that the kingdom of God is right now breaking into your reality, guess where he goes? A lot. If you said the table, You're right. You're tracking with this concept. Jesus ate with people. He ate with tax collectors, with sinners. He ate with Pharisees. He shared meals with the insiders and the outsiders of his society. It was a simple thing. It was a beautiful thing. And it was a thing that got Jesus into a lot of trouble. An accusation was leveled against him. Religious people were scandalized. Jesus eats with sinners. And they were right. By joining people at the table, Jesus was sending the message, I want to have a relationship with you. And there's only one kind of person Jesus can have a relationship with. There's only one kind of person Jesus can dine with. And that is a person who suffers from the problem of sin. That offended the religious and attracted the outsider. And then one day, Jesus receives word that John the Baptist has been killed. He was looking to spend some time alone in prayer to his Father to sort all of that out. So he sets out in a boat, and when he reaches the shore on the other side, rather than finding the retreat time that he desired, he finds a crowd of people waiting there for him. That might be the last straw for you or me. But Jesus just continues to serve their needs, patiently teach them. And then his disciples point out the practical problem of getting all of these people fed. Their idea is to send the people away and let them worry about it. Jesus has a different idea. Taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus thanks his Father for it, blesses it, gives it to the disciples who just became servers. They take the food and serve it to 5,000 men plus the women and children who were there. And Matthew makes it a point to tell us that all the people ate and were satisfied. That means, of course, that they ate until they were full. And not only that, there were 12 large baskets of leftovers remaining. What in the world was going on? This is what was going on. Jesus used his divine power to show what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is a feast. It's a banquet. Now, at first glance, it doesn't look like much. It might even look like a joke. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 10,000 people with growling stomachs. But here's the point. Jesus is involved. Focus on the problem, which in this case was the number of people and the lack of resources, it seems unsolvable. Focus on Jesus, who cares for the people and has complete command over the resources, and you have dinner in a desolate place with more than enough to go around. I've sometimes wondered, maybe you have too, what must it have been like to eat the food that Jesus multiplied? What did it taste like? What were the conversations like with the people sitting there on the grass, and at what point did they realize something miraculous was happening? Who asked for seconds? How busy were the disciples as they became waiters that day? What was it like to eat at the feast hosted by Jesus? Well, here's the best news that I have for you today. You don't have to wonder. You can eat the feast hosted by Jesus today in just a few minutes. And no, it's not bread and fish. At this reception, the main course will be bread and wine. And this food is the result of Jesus once again being at the table. On the night when he was betrayed, the night before the cross, he was at the Passover table when he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my body." He then took the cup of wine after supper, the cup they called the cup of redemption, saying, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat and drink this way, do it in remembrance of me." And that's not even all. On the evening that he rose from death, Jesus was once again at a table where he took bread, gave thanks, began to give it to the people he was with, and they recognized him then with overwhelming joy. And ever since, those who believe in Jesus have gathered together for the feast hosted by him. The banquet of his body and blood hidden in bread and wine. This is the kingdom of God breaking into your reality and mine. This eating and drinking is a celebration of what Jesus has done and what he continues to do for you. Whenever the Lord's Supper is offered, you are invited to come with all of your burdens, all of your troubles, and come to the table that Jesus has prepared, to come as an honored guest and to be served by the Lord of heaven and earth himself. In the middle of the most trying times, this festive meal gives you sustenance for this day. And at the same time, gives you a sneak preview of your future. A celebration is coming. The party of all parties. The feast of victory. Of Jesus' victory over death. A victory he shares with you. A beautiful bash of eternal proportions. A preview of all that right here. So until that day, let us truly celebrate the rich food that satisfies. Let us celebrate the God who wants a relationship of grace with you. Welcome to the Lord's table. We pray. Lord Jesus, you set a feast for the people in that desolate place so long ago, multiplying bread and fish to sustain them. You've given a great gift to your church, another meal, another miraculous multiplication of resources of bread and wine, which you have said is your body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, for a preview of the celebration that is coming for all of those who know you by faith. May this meal be for us today food for our souls. In Jesus we pray. Amen.